Good evening. Thank you. Do you like the pizza and the pops?
Amen.
Good. I was not like that man, the last speaker. So, boy, was he fun to listen to? I'm not trying to imitate him because I cannot do what he did, but I can do computers. Yeah. 6 years ago, when I joined Microsoft as a senior consultant, I was immediately taught that several senior guys would be my mentor. And their job is to show me around to get me started. And about 4 years ago, I was asked to mentor other junior consultant. Mentoring is a very big deal in Microsoft. Everybody need to mentor to be mentored. And Microsoft want all of us to invest our time wisely so that we can help each other to grow professionally. And based on my experience, the mentoring does matter and does make a huge difference in Microsoft's consulting business. And similarly, God want all of us to invest our life wisely and in others to help others to grow spiritually. And if you look at the Bible revealed one truth very clearly. All Jesus followers, they are also great mentors to next generations of Christians. So today I'm going to talk about, just because time limited, I'm going to talk about three questions very briefly. First, what is mentoring? Secondly, I will talk about three examples in the Bible. Then we are going to talk about how we can get started. There are many definitions about mentoring, and I like one definition given by one gentleman, and he says the mentoring is a lifelong relationship and with a goal that the mentor helps the mentee to realize his or her God-given full potential. So mentoring is actually is not new. It happened a long time ago. Also in Bible, it's called the discipleship. But here I will just use interchangeable. Also in not long ago, it's called the apprenticeship. So the young man or young ladies were sent out to work with senior adults, so they can learn on the job. Also, we can call this a job shadowing or internship. mentoring is not about solving problem. It's more about growing together, and it's not a short-term deal. It's long-term commitment. So why do we need mentors? Why do we need to do this thing? In the Bible, especially in Proverbs 27:17, it tells us, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So when God created us, he created us in his image. And he doesn't want us to grow alone spiritually. He wants us to grow in a relationship. And so we need each other. We need the mature Christians to help, coach, and guide us in our spiritual growth. So I'm going to read one quote from one gentleman called Howard Hendricks in his book Standing Together. In so much as knowing Christ involves a relationship, growing in Christ also involves relationship. One of the most helpful of these involves a mentor. That's because most of us don't need to know more nearly as much as we need to grow more. We don't need a set of principles to practice nearly as much as we need another person to help us. We need someone to believe in us, stand by us, guide us, and model Christ for us. We need another's encouragement, wisdom, example, and accountabilities. We need his smiles, his hugs, his frowns, and his tears. So you can see from this definition and from what we try to achieve, the goal of goal of mentorship is to help individuals to find the God's will in their lives, and also then help them to respond in obedience. So mentoring is summarized in one sentence: is a long-term relationship in which the mentor helped his mentee to realize his or her full God's given potential. And mentoring involves many activities, but in summary, it involves at least the three things. The mentee need to ask questions, a lot of questions. Mentors need to provide the insights, directions, counseling, and also the focus is on coaching, not necessarily on the behavior modifications. So you may ask, why do we need to talk about mentoring right now? I think based on my observation, the mentoring is almost lost, especially in this culture. And mentoring also is not practiced. It's not widely practiced among the Christians in churches. So as a result, today's young people are lost and confused. And if you look around, you find so many young men who don't understand the true meaning of godly manhood. And also you can find so many young ladies, they don't understand the meaning of the true virtuous womanhood. So what do they do? These young people, they are confused. So they look up to the movie stars or sports stars, and those people, they don't have they maybe live very luxurious life, but they don't live happy lives. And also, you look around, you find so many young parents, they don't know how to bring up the children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. So also, if you look around, you find so many young people, they may have knowledge, but they lack the wisdom and they lack the experience. And they don't know how to apply the book knowledge into practice. They don't know how to use what they learn to solve the real problems. And so these people need help and they need the mentoring. And sadly, even the seminary graduates, they need mentoring too. Because the Bible college students, they may have learned a lot of things. They may have received a lot of teaching instructions, but they didn't get enough mentoring. Although you cannot find mentoring or mentor in the English Bible, but the concept of mentoring is evident in both the Old Testament and New Testament. And also, if you study Bible carefully, you can see the Bible record recorded many good mentoring examples. And I don't have time to go through all of them, but I will just focus on three of them. And also, I don't have time to look up the verses one by one, but you are welcome to look up. First one is Moses mentoring Joshua. And Joshua was Moses' assistant, and also he was his servant. He observed Moses from his youth, from when he was a boy. And Moses spent time to train him, and also the first battle with the people in the Promised Land, he sent Joshua to fight the battle. So Joshua waited for 40 years before he became a leader. And also, there are many other facts. I don't have time to go through each of them. But when Moses died, Joshua had to take over the leadership. And he was ready. Yeah, he was ready. And Moses' task was to lead the Israel people out of the slavery in Egypt and cross the Red Sea and also try to get to a promised land, because he sinned. God didn't let him to go to the promised land. So the task, that task fell on Joshua's shoulder. Joshua had to lead the Israel people to fight the battle, to conquer the promised land, to divide the land among the between the 12 tribes, and also help the Israel people to settle down. And that task is not easy, was not an easy task. It was second to only Moses' tasks. So he had to be trained well, and I think Moses did a good job to train him. And there are several lessons or mentoring principles we can learn from this. One is the mentor always serving together with his mentees, and also mentor empower his mentees. And Moses led the Joshua to command the battle. Also, the mentor practiced the spiritual leadership with the mentee. So Joshua observed how Moses humbled himself and how he pleaded to God for his people. So so when Moses died, he was ready. Second Bible example I'm going to look at is the between Barnabas and Paul. Here, Barnabas was a mentor. Paul was a mentee. So when Paul was converted, and not many people don't believe him, don't believe he really transformed. But Barnabas took interest in this young soul, and he took him to meet the apostles, and he speak for him. He advocate the Paul. Not only that, also he took him to other place to get trainings, to learn about the God, learn about the Jesus. So if you look around, actually in church there are so many young Pauls that are waiting for the Barnabas. And we need some Barnabas to find them and to invest in them. So we thank God for Barnabas by taking the interest in a young soul and to train him up. And I think he did a very good job, because later on, Paul took on some mentees himself. He mentored so many young people, Titus, Timothy, Silas, and many others. Not only that, he charged Timothy to charge Timothy's mentees to mentor next generation. So it's just the mentoring does not stop at your mentees. So the lesson we can learn from this mentorship between Barnabas and Paul is that as mentors, you should be generous, and you should recognize the potentials in your mentees, and you need to invest your life in the spiritual growth. Also, you need to be the advocate. You need to take risk and give your mentees opportunities, and also be excited about the achievements. The last example I'm going to look at is between Paul and Timothy. And Timothy, he was Paul's non-serving assistant. And although he received his training from his family, but also he was trained by his mentor, Paul, in evangelism and in church planting. And also he was Paul's beloved son, the true son in faith. And in 2 Timothy 4, we read the Paul's charge to Timothy to preach the word, to share the gospel, also to do the work of evangelist. So when Paul's ministry coming to an end, he entrusted many things to Timothy. He asked him to fight the good fight and finish the good race. So the lesson we can learn from here is spiritual multiplications, means multiple generations mentoring. So you train next generation and ask them to train next generation and so on and so forth. And so also don't be afraid to challenge your mentees. And next year, everything you set a very good example to yourself. So in my company, in Microsoft, I mentioned that everyone is asked to get involved in mentoring. I have 3 mentors and I have 5 mentees. And we spend time together, help each other to grow. Also, in the same manner, the mentoring is not just for pastors, it's not just for experts, it's not just for the old people. It's also for young people, because I see some young people mentoring the young boys and the young girls also in this church. I was very happy about that. So it's for everybody. Now, how can we get started? And who is mentoring you right now? And who is you, Paul or Barnabas? Yeah, based on my personal experience, I think you need to actively go out to find mentors. Usually, your mentor don't come to you to say, "I want to invest in you." No, usually that doesn't happen because everybody is busy. And they don't know if you are serious or not. So you need to pray to God. You need to go out to actively look for and find a good mentor. Good. And you need to have some criteria so you can evaluate the potential mentors. And you need to approach to them. And usually people, when you ask politely, and they will agree to mentor you. And also, you will be amazed at how many people with so much to offer, and they would love to pour into your life. And after you find your mentor, you can get started to meet with him or her every month, or maybe more often if possible. And after you establish your relationship, and you can use your mentor to as a sounding board for your leadership decision, for your life decision, for your big decision, and you will be amazed how much blessing that your mentor can bring to you. And also, you can have more than one mentors. And for example, my first son, Jeremy, he has many mentors from this church, from outside this church. And before we come here, we learn about the Great Commission, and you need to go out to share the gospel, to share the good news. But we didn't know how does that look like. And Brother Ron, he just shared his testimony. He is a great witness people. He can share the gospel very well. And he took Jeremy and out to do the soul winning. Jeremy learned many things from him. Also from other brothers like Mark, Matthew, and many others. And Jeremy also get blessings from Brother Aaron. That fun speaker, and also from Tyler, Brother David's son. He learned so much from these two brothers and his other music teachers. He learned that the music is a tool. that you can use to honor God in the corporate worship. And also is a tool in his relationship to with Jesus, so that he can trust in Jesus, he can obey in Jesus. And our pastor also has been helping my son in his spiritual maturity. And we are still in process to find some Christian lawyer to be his professional mentors. So you can have many mentors. There is no limitations. And also, as I mentioned, that your mentors does not have to be old people. Although old people have a lot of wisdom. And I see in this church, like Brooke and Tiffany and Esty, they mentor my daughters and other young girls. And I see the changes in my daughter just in less than in 2 years. Since most of us are mature Christian, and we should be mentor others. And we can provide the insights, wisdom, experience to our mentees when they ask us. And Brother Ron shared his testimony, I think that's very good mentoring message. So for the young people, they know that road is a dead end. Don't go there. So I think that's very good. That's good. Also, you can not only share your life lessons, also you can set a good life examples for your mentees to imitate, just like Paul did to Timothy and other young people. And as mentor, also you can inspire and encourage your mentees to dream of big dreams, to do the hard things for the Lord. So as you can see, the mentoring is about building a long-term relationship, and this involves the some investment from you in terms of your time and your talents. So mentoring required a sacrifice, and sometimes even required that you're taking a risk. And in 2003, my pastor in the Chinese church, he and his wife, they give up the very comfortable job as pastor. Pastoring is not an easy job. It's not a comfortable job. But they give up the job security. So they start a brand new ministry called the Mentoring for Christ Center Home. And they didn't have a salary. They didn't have many people to believe in them. But they saw this this great need for the Chinese families, and because many Chinese families like me, when we come from China to this country, we didn't have any trainings in family, in marriage, in parenting, in anything. So we made so many mistakes, and we caused so many pain to our wives, to our kids, and to each other. So they saw this great need, so that they left the church and they start this new ministry. The mission is to mentor parents, to disciple the children, to become servant leaders in God's kingdom. And although they don't have many resources, but they trust in God and they obey God. And after 11 years, I think the ministry start to grow. And my wife and I were the first mentees, and I'm very grateful for the investment in our lives. And without their sacrifice, I think I may not have these five beautiful kids. I may have already divorced my wife, or she divorced me. they not only give up the job, but also they open the homes. They open the hearts and the lives. And as a mentees, I saw the real names, the man. And I realized that our pastor also made mistakes in their child training. And he asked us to avoid those mistakes. And so because they were open and transparent, they quickly won my heart and my trust. So learn from the Paul's example, I want to pass on. So I want to mentor other people also. So when we saw some other young, not young family, the other family, other Chinese family, when they just started the homeschooling journey, so we thought that we felt they need some help. So last year we started called the homeschooling support group. So we every month we gather together to help each other, to share the experience, to encourage each other, and to hold each other accountable. I think so far everybody feel very encouraged because they saw that they struggle. We struggled before. We had the same struggle, but because of God's grace, we overcome. And also when I saw my son Jeremy, although he is still a product in training, in making, but they got the inspirations. They said, "Wow, your son can do this, that." They want their son to become like him. I think that I get great joy from that. The biblical mentoring does not have to be formal and serious, and it can be practiced in everywhere, in kitchen table, in office, in your workplace, as long as in the Sunday school classroom or in the kids and the teens retreat camps. It can happen between one mature believer and one less mature believer, or it can happen between among the mutual excuse me. And also it can be a mutual mentoring relationship between friends, between peers, because we need each other. We need to hold each other accountable. And so question to challenge myself and also challenge you, we need to ask who is my Paul, my today's mentee, and who can become mentor tomorrow? And who is my Barnabas, and who is my Timothy? Should I actively go out to look for my mentors and mentees? And how can I get started? And what are you investing right now? And so after when I come to this country, my dream is to get rich, and I invest in many things. And 20 years later, I think the best investment is investing in kids, in young generation. Because when you invest in the stock, you give your money to the fund manager to enjoy their vacation. I'm not going to do that. So for the young people, if you are serious about mentoring, there is one resource. I think it's very great resources. This one has 30 lessons and 30 DVD video program. It tell you how you can go to find a good mentor, how you prepare for the first meeting, how you ask meaningful questions, how you value your mentor's time, and so on and so forth. That is great resources, and so it help you to launch your life when you are still in teenagers. So Brother Ron shared his testimony, and we learned that he was mentored by many good brothers in this church. And now, just I mentioned, the Ron already started to mentor others, including my sons, not just Jeremy, but Daniel and Nathan also. And every Saturday when we go out for soul winning, all my three kids compete for Ron. They want to go out with Ron because Ron is fun. He's a good speaker. And I think he's more comfortable to speak one-on-one than to sleep in front of here. Yeah. Yeah, I think if Brother Ron can do it, he has done it, we can do it too. Let's get started. Let's invest wisely and invest in the things which has eternal value. Thank you.